Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
The County High School senior is in the hospital after collapsing on the tennis courts.
Breaking new details on the deaths of a high school soccer player.
Finland, Denmark star man Christian Eriksen collapsing towards the end of the first half.
The Kennedy High community mourning tonight after one of their high school football players died.
A South Carolina high school football player has died after collapsing at football practice.
Star college basketball player collapsing on the court. We want to warn you, the video may be difficult to watch.
Florida Gators star Keontae Johnson collapsing during the game.
A West Catholic high school student has died after collapsing during a football scrimmage.
On mile 8, she suddenly felt fuzzy and blacked out.
17-year-old Ryan Jacobs' heart stopped.
Unexpectedly collapsed on the field.
Megan went into cardiac arrest.
Collapsing during Friday night's football game.
All right, now what I'm seeing on my screen here is these articles. Josh Drowney, here's another one. Hungarian football player, 18. One after the other, after the other, after these college.
The reason for his collapse is unknown.
The reason why Manny collapsed in the first place still isn't known.
Okay, Danny's second division. Let me see. It's one after the other, after the other. Kids you know is very sick.
So you might be wondering how someone in such great shape could suffer cardiac arrest.
It's a rare thing that happens.
24-year-old soccer player dies after vaccine. So they're showing you got two heart attacks in a few hours. Player suffered from a double cardiac arrest. Email Paulson football collapses from cardiac So they're moving these things too fast for me to actually read it.
The reporter says the condition is rare.
So I'm looking at all these, and they're going so fast I can't even read them all because there's so many of them. But folks, you're...
It's just one of those tragedies.
Yeah. Okay, you can cut it. You can cut it there. But what's happening there is they're not... The fake news media, what they call the mainstream, is they're doing what they're told by Big Pharma. You don't tell people that all these athletes are dying from the shot. You don't do that. You just don't do that, okay? And so here, I've got this article here, Joe, and I know you want to get back to bed, but I'll just say read this part and let you go. 85% of COVID deaths could have been prevented. So what happened? Of the people who died from COVID in the U.S., none received adequate and or early enough treatment. Dr. Peter McCullough told podcast host Joe Rogan, if they had at least 85% of them would have survived. And with that, I'll let you go, Joe. I'll be looking for you. Go get some sleep because I'll be looking for you on Tuesday.
Well, I thank you. Thank you for having me on here. And absolutely, I appreciate it. And I look forward to, seeing you all Tuesday.
All right. God bless, and have a happy new year, my friend, you and your family.
Well, thank you. You all, too.
All right, thanks. All right, now we got a lot of stuff. So, Randy, go ahead and lead off with your lead article.
Sure, here we go. Yeah, U.S. approves first injury claim for COVID countermeasure as backlog grows to 4,000-plus current claims. And I want everybody to please pay attention because that's true. The U.S. government has a countermeasure injury compensation program, which will issue compensation for its first claim, and it's unknown if the claim is related to a vaccine or some other medication or device related to the diagnosis or treatment of the virus. Now, according to the Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program website, one COVID-19 claim has been determined eligible for compensation, and it's pending a review of eligible expenses. Countermeasures did not reveal the terms of the compensation. Confirmation of the claim comes almost a year after distribution of the vaccines began and after 965,843 reports of adverse events following COVID vaccines were submitted to the by VAERS. And however, it's unclear whether the claim will be compensated, that is being compensated pertaining to a reaction to a COVID vaccine or some other COVID-related treatment. And that's according to the Epic Times. It says that the program was established under the aegis of the Public Readiness and Energy Preparedness, or PREP, and that was in 2005. The law is scheduled to remain in effect until 2024. The CIP program focuses on countermeasures such as vaccination, medication, device, or other item recommended to diagnose, prevent, or treat a declared pandemic, epidemic, or security threat. The CICP allows individuals to claim compensation for lost wages, for medical expenses not fully reimbursed by insurance or government programs such as Medicaid. The individuals also can claim death benefits for someone who died as a result of this. The CICP is known for its cumbersome claims process and low likelihood of success for claims. To date, only 4% of the petitions have been compensated under the program. And they go on to point out that out of 5,242 claims which were filed, that 751 pertain to COVID, including 2,297 claims related to COVID vaccines and 2,454 for other countermeasures. And the CICP numbers, which also do not include November and December's claims, may increase further if and when the program develops a countermeasures injury table. And half of the claims filed were take more than 5 years to adjudicate, which means that if you file a claim, it'll take you 5 years to get the thing done. The slow rate of processes claims to the U.S. can be compared with Japan, where as of August, 29 of 41 claims of injured folks following a COVID vaccine were paid out.
All right, that's enough, Rand. Let's stop there. See, first of all, you can't compare to Japan. Look, back in the 80s, Big Pharma paid Congress good money. They paid Congress good money to give them immunity against lawsuits for killing people. If they injured or killed people, you know, that's part of the business. And so they paid Congress good money to give them immunity. And that's exactly what Congress did.
But what they've done really is protected themselves, because it requires for you to file a claim, a direct causal connection between the countermeasures and the injury or death in order for the immunity to be granted under the act. Now, without such a connection, there's no legal immunity and the plaintiff's lawsuits may proceed. So basically they've made it very, very difficult, but almost impossible, but it can be done.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and do this article I told you very quickly. 85% of COVID deaths could have been prevented. So what happened? Okay, on the COVID-19 deaths in the U.S., none received adequate or early enough treatment. 85% of COVID deaths were preventable. And this is, again, by Dr. Joseph Marcola. These are the components of SARS-CoV-2 infection, viral replication, cytokine storm, and blood clotting, therefore necessitating a multi-drug approach, and treatment must begin early to be effective. Research published 2006 showed hydroxychloroquine reduced viral replication of SARS-CoV-1, the original SARS virus. It also is very well established, anti-inflammatory properties. These two properties help explain its usefulness against COVID-19. There were very clear intentional efforts to prevent the use of hydroxychloroquine against COVID-19 in an effort to make the COVID jabs appear necessary. You cannot get COVID-19 twice. Those with natural immunity have robust, long-lasting immunity. The Pfizer COVID shot, meanwhile, has been shown to be and have undetectable effectiveness 201 days after the second dose. And the Moderna's effectiveness reaches zero around that day. There you go. So anyhow, look, see, here's reality. See, people don't want to try to wrap their brains around the fact that there are actually people out there that want to depopulate the planet. play clip number two. Play the clip with Bill Gates and the CIA. Okay, now here's Bill Gates, and he's got these pictures up, and he's addressing the CIA, and he's talking about religious fanatics. Do you know who religious fanatics are?
We are.
Us.
This
us.
Is who he's talking about. You folks out there, if you believe God's word, the Bible, he's referring to you. Go ahead and play it.
We have individuals who are religious fundamentalists, religious fanatics, and this is the expression, RT-PCR, real-time PCR, expression of the VMAT2 gene. Over here, we have individuals. Let me complete. So over here, we have individuals who are not particularly fundamentalists, not particularly religious, and you can see there's a much reduced expression of this particular gene, the VMAT2 gene. Another evidence that supports our hypothesis for the development of this approach.
By spreading this virus, we're going to eliminate individuals from donning on a bomb vest and going into a market and blowing up the market.
So our hypothesis is that these are fanatical people, that they have overexpression of the VMAT2 gene, and that by vaccinating them against this, we'll eliminate this behavior. So we have some very, very remarkable data in this next slide. Here we have two brain scans. These are fMRIs. These are two different individuals with different levels of expression of VMAT2. On top is an individual who's a religious fanatic, an individual, and we've repeated this numerous times, that has high levels of VMAT2. Now, this individual down here, who had low levels of the VMAT2 gene, this individual would self-describe as not particularly religious. In each case, these individuals were read a religious text. This individual lit up.
What he's showing is a chart right
the
now.
Right middle frontal gyrus.
And he's got these pictures
of
supposedly our brains, the human brains. And the human brains of the Christians, he's showing you the CIA where there's a defect. And this is what makes us Christians fanatics. Randy, do you want to take a look at that?
Self-describe as religious. And when they're read a religious text, what you see is that this part of the brain called the anterior insula lights up. This is a part of the brain that's associated with disgust or
Okay, there you go. That's enough there. So here, these are what he's referring to. Now, I want to go to the third clip. The third clip here, let's go to. And the third clip is, this is Dr. Brian Artis. And he's telling us why we should not trust hospitals. This guy is one of he's one of the top known doctors in the country. And he's telling us why. And so go ahead and play that clip.
All right. Thank you for having me here. I'm very excited to be here. I don't really like standing behind the podium, so I'll stand over here. I don't know if any of you have ever talked about the same thing every day for a year and a half, but you think it would get old? You think you'd get tired of it? There are so many lies and deception being told to you right now throughout this entire world, that I constantly want to go to. Like, I want to go to the new ones and go talk about those. And then there's these people that continue to text me out of, like, nowhere. And I just have to say, there's a phenomenal group of medical professionals in this room that are a part of this summit that have been a huge encouragement to me. The encouragement is, keep telling the same story. It's too important. And then there's like this peaceful, loving, gentle giant over here named Peter McCullough who at like 5:45 in the morning will text me and go, keep your computer hot. Don't stop. Keep going. This is too important. Don't quit, Dr. Artis. It's too great. And so it just continues to motivate me to keep giving the same message. And the message, why it's so important to him and to so many others, is My constant preaching has been to bring an awareness to everybody that there are protocols that have been established in hospitals to murder, maim, and kill you. To convince you that there is a deadly virus that's more deadly than it really is, so that they can sell you on vaccines. So, I will continue to tell this, Dr. McCullough. I'll tell the story again. All right, so I'm Dr. Artis, my father-in-law. His name's Weldon. Jane's over here on the front row. Wave, Jane. Everybody tell her thank you, because it's the whole reason I'm in the media is because her dad was killed in a hospital in Plano, Texas, early February 2020. So what I learned there was I learned how to get kicked out of a hospital and have security escort me out and then convince my wife's family to continue to follow the same protocol for the last 6 days that caused acute kidney failure, secondary pulmonary edema that they lied and called pneumonia, and it wasn't. They drowned him to death, just like they're drowning all Americans to death with remdesivir in hospitals and calling it COVID pneumonia when, in fact, it is pulmonary edema. And I can prove it. But I learned that from the experience of watching her dad die over a 9-day period being poisoned to death with a drug. Remdesivir does the same thing. It's a poisonous drug. And Anthony Fauci knew it from the beginning. So let's go. Ready? Here we are. So what do we know? This is actually a QR code. I don't know if y'all want this, but you might want to take pictures of this and save it. Because my entire message for almost 2 years now has been, the hospitals are dangerous, don't go there. Early treatment, always better. Got it? That's been my message. However, there are going to be some of you at some point that are going to get sick, a loved one's going to get sick, and you think you need to go to the hospital because you just don't think you're going to be able to make it. So this site has been created. This QR code takes you to the drartistshow.com website. If you set up a username and password and register and sign back in, this new tab appears that's called Resources. I have decided, like Peter McCullough, who decided he was going to be the expert with COVID-19, I decided I was going to be your expert at protecting you from hospitals killing you. So here we go. If you go there, you go to the resources page. The resources page only appears when you actually create a sign in account. It's all free. When you log in, click the resources page, go to the bottom. There is an advanced medical directive form created by an attorney, Kelly Sorrell, here in Fort Worth, actually. And it's an advanced directive for COVID-19 treatments. If you haven't figured this out yet, the hospitals are being bribed to use COVID-19 protocols. Also, they're being bribed to diagnose you with COVID-19 and use tests to do that. You better tell them what they are allowed to do and not to do before you go in there. And there's what's called a directive for physicians form at the bottom of the page and a medical power of attorney form. You better have both of those ready. If you need to pretend like you are right now, forever, as it stands at this moment, you need to pretend that you're pregnant and it's the third trimester and you need a bag, travel bag, ready to go with you to the hospital when your water breaks. You better print these two forms now and get them signed, initialed, notarized. And have them with you in a little folder so that if you ever feel like you need to go to the hospital, you tell them what they are allowed and not allowed to do. Kelly Sorrell, I hadn't even talked to her, but when I had her come on my show, when I saw her forms, the very first thing says, I don't care if you presume I have COVID-19. I don't care if you've tested me positive for COVID-19. I do not consent to remdesivir treatment or venting me. The fourth one is, I don't care if you admit me to this hospital. And I don't care if you send me to a psychiatric facility. I never consent to the COVID-19 vaccine. And you have to know there are hospitals around this country that have in the intake forms that by signing the admissions form, you consent to getting the COVID-19 shot, and you didn't even read it. So you better be ready. They're trying all costs to get you these shots, and they will lie, deceive all of you. So just make sure you have the resource. That's all it's there for. If you just go there, sign in. It's all free. Just go get the forms. I'm here to save you. May 2020, Anthony Fauci said that there was a study done, May 2020, there was a study done the year before on Ebola virus in Africa. And there was four experimental drugs, and of those four experimental drugs, remdesivir, which Ryan Cole just told me a minute ago. He came up with a new name for remdesivir in case you can't pronounce it. He said, run, death is near. I'll give him credit for that. So Anthony Fauci says there's this drug that was proven safe and effective against the Ebola virus. And I don't think anyone in the country looked at this study he hyperlinked, but me. I clicked it because I'd never heard of that drug. He said it was an antiviral drug that was experimental and is going to be the only drug that we use for all American hospitalized patients. And then he asked the federal government to buy up all this experimental drug and don't give it to another country until the end of 2020. Don't export it. You ever wonder why it is that at the end of 2020, America had 25% of all the COVID-19 deaths in the world, and we only have less than 5% of the whole world's population? But this deadly virus went around the whole world. Anthony Fauci and American hospitals were only doing one thing that no other country in the world was doing, pumping you full of a drug that was proven in this study, the Ebola trial in Africa, it was proven to be the most deadly. This is a quote from inside the study. The safety board found halfway through the study, remdesivir killed over 53% of all people they gave the drug to. So they took them off the drug and didn't allow another Ebola patient to get this drug. Amazing. Here you go right here. Table 2 from that chart or from that research study. Remdesivir is the second column from the left. ZMapp is the first one. And I've said this over the last 6 months now. The Ebola trial is so significant. It was from November 2018 to December 2019. This was actually the rehearsal dinner for Anthony Fauci's COVID-19 wedding. He funded this whole study. He was the only one that did it. So, and the reason why I say this was his rehearsal dinner, it's the same stuff you're hearing 2 years later from the beginning of this pandemic. Remdesivir, you see listed there. Remdesivir, look right below there. Mortality rate, 53.1%. It's the only one that killed over half the people they gave it to. The drug to the left is called ZMapp. It's a triple monoclonal antibody. Have y'all heard about those? It had a death rate. Do you see it underneath there? 49.7%. Half the people they gave it to died. Those two drugs were pulled from the study right then. And they said, we're not giving these to anybody else. But 5 months after this research study published in December of 2019, Anthony Fauci said it was proven that remdesivir in this study was found to be safe and effective against the Ebola virus. Now, without you guys being researchers or scientists, how many of you think it is the most successful, safe, and effective drug in this trial? Look at MAB114. It had a mortality rate of 35%. Look at the one, two from there, Regeneron. You see REGN? That's Regeneron, the triple monoclonal antibody you're hearing about right now. Why is this stuff still coming up? Anthony Fauci set it up this way. Guess how they actually determined whether or not these people were positive for Ebola? They used this thing called a PCR test. Regeneron had a death rate of 33% of all Ebola patients. This is my problem. May 2020, we knew that since China, New York, California, this new coronavirus was going around the world. At that point, we knew coronavirus was killing less than 1% of all people in the world that got infected with it. But the drugs they were considering to treat that virus from a research study, the best one had a death rate of 33%. Why would you ever select a drug, in my opinion, from a research study that had a higher mortality than the virus you're trying to treat?
Okay, we're gonna stop it there. It goes on. I mean, that is this fellow really knows what he's talking about. I mean, he is really sharp. So, anyhow, I quickly just wanted to say this. Here's a couple things. You know, you're talking about CDC releases report on Omicron variant, and guess who is getting it the most? That's right. Out of 43, the first study, the people that they studied, guess what? All of those that got it, 34 of the 43 were fully vaxxed.
Vaccinated, of course.
Right. Okay, and so, again, what happens is those vaccines, they destroy your immune system, and that's what's happening. Joe Biden and his bureaucratic puppets working for the CDC have all repeatedly labeled every surge in COVID-19 cases as a pandemic of the unvaccinated. This is simply a lie, a great big lie. It is a corrupt manipulation of the facts and try to force everyone to get the COVID jab. The latest variant, SARS-CoV-2, Omicron, is proving that many experts have been saying for months. The virus unleashed on the world through a leak from the Chinese virology lab is something the world must learn to live with. To accomplish this, scientists must acknowledge the breadth of potential immunity, and some people naturally have. They refuse every single strategy bureaucrats propose involve mandatory compliance. There is no discussion about natural immunity. Why not? According to these people, it doesn't exist. That in and of itself is contradictory to true science. Now, Omicron is exposing these failed policies, especially the critical vaccine mandates, for what they are: government power grabs with no basis in true science. So, Joe, or Randy, again, the whole point is the elite, the Bill Gates, the Faucis, and that they believe that this planet should belong to them. They, many of them, actually feel as gods.
Sure, the magic number is 500 million out of 8.5 billion, which means 95% of us have to be gone.
That's what they want to do.
Exactly, 95%. And, you know, the irony of that is that right now all 8.5 billion people could stand, if we stood in there, on the real estate that's in the Oregon. The state of Oregon, which means that's how much more world there is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and
but they want this world to be clean and pristine for themselves.
For themselves. Absolutely.
Remember, these elite, they feel they don't need us anymore. They've got robots, they've got technology, and the planet should be kept for them. They feel that, you know. But the problem of it is there's a whole lot more of them that think that they're a part of that elite, especially those in the lamestream media. And speaking of Omicron, CNS reports the first Omicron death in Texas hospital, but the hospital says they're lying. CNN lying?
CNN.
Can you imagine that?
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. You had another article there.
No. Actually, the other article I have here is it kind of takes us off a little bit. It talks about the Fairfax County Police seizing an electronic hard drive from a CNN producer, Rick Celebi, after Texas show solicitation of. He has underage photos here. And it says, last Wednesday, Project Veritas released a shocking investigation of another CNN producer fantasizing about sex acts with his fiance's underage daughter. The investigation reveals Rick Celebi, a primetime producer for Jake Tapper, fantasizing about sex acts with an underage teenager. In one text exchange, tells the source how his fiance's daughter was wearing very closely cut bottoms at the pool before using graphic language to describe how he could see the outline of her private parts. Now, other texts were too graphic and sickening to quote directly. So Project Veritas' first, action was to reach out to the authorities. Following that, we reached out to the mother of the children to ensure their safety, and Project Veritas then reached out to the employer, CNN, to inform them of the situation and give them the information to comment. And as of this press release, we have had no response.
All right, you know, CNN's really, they've been caught, but we know that pedophilia is rampant. It's rampant.
Absolutely.
Within the left-wing media. You've got, I mean, if it's a sin, it's rampant. If it's abortion, it's rampant. If it's sodomy, it's rampant within the left-wing media. It's everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls an abominable sin, they embrace.
But they're also rampant about minors, and that's the problem. I think that's beyond sexual sin. It's with minors, with children. And let's face it, we know that this administration is very soft on that.
Well, why isn't you're not hearing anything like, you know, this Epstein's Island, this woman that they just convicted, she was not the one that was raping all those young girls.
That's correct.
A whole lot of very powerful liberals out there, Bill Clinton, you know, a whole lot of
them. Well, Prince Andrew's people came back, and they're contesting the whole thing because the girl lives in Australia, and the suit was filed in Virginia, and they're saying they have no jurisdiction. But
Bill Gates was one of those.
Absolutely.
Many of these CEOs, these large corporations that have gone woke, many of them, they're falling in line. They're doing what they're told. They don't want this to come out. Big money is keeping that from coming out. That's just the way it works in this society.
Well, that's why Jeffrey Epstein died.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. He could, if he had sang like a bird, he could have brought too many people down.
Right.
So how do you take a guy that's on a suicide death watch and all of a sudden you don't watch him?
Yeah, yeah, obviously. And he had a huge bruise to the back of his neck.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
All right, what we're going to do is we're going to take some calls. Let's go. We have a prayer request from Mark in Marysville. Mark, you're in the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Pastor. Several months ago, maybe 7 months ago, I called you up down here in Marysville mentioning that my property that I rent on is for sale, and my landlord was selling it to a ministry that wants to use it as transition housing for women getting out of the prison here in Marysville. Turns mm-hmm. out that ministry is affiliated with Bill Johnson of Bethel Church in Redding, California, one of the worst heretical churches in the country. They got kicked out of the Assemblies of God a couple years ago. One reason was because they tried to raise a girl from the dead who'd been dead for like 3 or 4 days. They're nuts. And this ministry, so to speak, in this town just purchased the property today. Fortunately, they're not going to use it right off the bat for transition housing for women. But there's some shady dealings going on, and I'm just asking still that God would intervene. We're allowed to live here, but I just do not trust these people. They've gone back on their word and changed their mind and flip-flopped and been a mass of confusion, and they got ethics violations, and it's like, it's just a mess. And my rent from now on until indefinitely, as they decide, will be used to fund their ministry. That's not my choice. That's what they said to my landlord, who just gave up the property today. That's what they're going to do with the property. It'll be a money-raising tool for them. And I'm asking prayer for God's mercy. The leader of it sometimes won't even use the Bible when he preaches. Sometimes he'll read stuff that he says, the Lord told me, you know, to his congregation. It's that bad. And
Mark, I tell you what, why don't you, since you are totally familiar with all the workings, why don't you lead us, lead us in prayer, and we'll agree with you in that prayer.
Amen.
Sure. Dear God, I come to you in Jesus' name and because of the blood of Jesus, and I ask, Lord, that you would still sovereignly intervene despite this development today, that you would uncover everything that is unethical and illegal and unbiblical with this ministry, Lord, and that you would sovereignly either change it or that you would rid them out of this place, Lord, that you would stop all of their ministries that they carry on outside this place, and that somehow there would be intervention either with the banks or the law enforcement or something, and stop this ownership of this property to this ministry. I thank you for sparing, for the time being, the women in prison from being subjected possibly to coming over here under the guise they'll be helped. They would be preyed upon, and I thank you, Lord, that at least that is off the table for now. But I ask you to please intervene and please put this burden that I have and that others have in this town on the hearts of as many people listening as possible. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. All right, thank you, Mark. And Mark, hang in there, my friend, and have a blessed new year. Okay, let's go to our other co-host, and that's Clifford. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, how you doing? I guess you're just trying to be like a lifeguard where you're warning all swimmers, whether they're Democratic or whatever, about this stuff. But one reference I'd like to make that relates to what you were talking about outpatient treatment, there's a good interview with a Dr. Harvey Reich, R-I-S-C-H, on Rudy Giuliani's Common Sense podcast about a week ago where he talks about how this should have all have been treated, pretty much all of it outpatient, using things like hydroxychloroquine, and how they maligned it fraudulently. Like one person had 10 times the elevated heart proteins or whatever, and they said it was thousands. And some studies. So his qualification is this guy's from Yale Medical Center. He teaches at Yale Medical School, and his primary expertise is cancer, but he's also an expert on immunology. So he's a really big name. He's from Yale, and he's saying this stuff. He's flat out calling the FDA completely corrupt.
It is. It is completely corrupt. It's deep state. Yeah. It is totally deep state.
Yeah. And also, it appears that the airline industry might be collapsing due to these people getting vaccinated. A percentage of them just can't work anymore, and you can't find backups for them. You know, that seems to be what's really going on. They're blaming it on weather, but we've always had bad weather. But my brief question is, are you familiar with the Book of Enoch? Because I downloaded that. Chapter 89 says they will think they're gods, and that sounds like Bill Gates in the Book of Enoch, but I'm not that familiar with it. I just gave it one list, and it's 105 chapters.
But there's some good information in Enoch, historical, but it is not one of the inspired books. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, there is some good information in that. I'm going to have to move on. The entire board is lit. But have a happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Cliff.
Happy New Year, Cliff.
Let's go to Nick in PA. Nick, you're in the air.
Hi. I had a question about the good Lord Jesus King LeBron James and what he would think about Jeffrey Epstein and his pedophilia and also his ties to Donald Trump.
Okay, so let me see. What do I think about that? Jeffrey Epstein's Donald Trump. I remember in 2000, right around 2000, they were interviewing Donald Trump, and they asked him about Bill Clinton. They went to each other's weddings, the Clintons and the Trumps. And what do you think of Bill Clinton? And because Trump at that time was a Democrat, but he was accepted, you know, within the. And he said, he's a nice enough guy, all right. He's a nice enough guy, except for he needs to stay away from that island. That island is a really bad place. They need to stay away from that island that he goes to.
That's right.
Now, I remember hearing Trump saying this, okay? And so here, Trump or Epstein went to Mar-a-Lago. And when he was there, he was visiting. He got a hold of a 17-year-old girl, and Trump threw him out, banned him from Mar-a-Lago for good when Trump found out about it. So that's what I can tell you about those connections. And Trump is still saying, and this is why they're so afraid, because, see, Trump knew all of those that were going to that island. Remember, he was a Democrat. Until he got saved, he was a Democrat. And so what happened was he knows all of those people, a whole lot of people, that went to that island there, and they know that if he gets back in the White House, he's got the goods on him.
Well, also remember too that if he gets back in the White House, he's a lame duck, so he has nothing to lose by turning them over.
Lame duck.
How could he be a lame duck? He's still got 4 years.
He'd have 4 years, but I'm saying, but he can't get reelected.
Well, we don't know the way things are going nowadays. If he can prove he got, this last election was stolen from him, who knows what could happen?
How come he wouldn't say that Jeffrey Epstein's partner was a bad person? Why did he call her a good person?
Why did he call her a good person? I never heard him say that.
He said she was a fine person.
When did he say that?
In an interview, I think it was 3 years back. It was while he was sitting as president, because I was just taken aback by that, you know.
Well, he probably didn't know. He probably had been introduced or met her. And, you know, if you don't know someone, you're probably going to be less likely to say something bad about them than you are, okay? So I don't know why he said that, okay? All I do know is what I saw and what I heard with him. So there you go. But anyhow, thanks, Nick. You have a happy New Year. Let's go to Wes in Portland.
Hi, Pastor. Was enjoying your program. I wasn't going to call, but your discussion about some of those people that were in his Epstein's orbit, you left one out, one very important one. As a matter of fact, with my monthly donation check, I typed out a letter, and you haven't got it yet, but that is Chief Justice John Roberts.
Oh, yeah.
Happily with Clinton.
Well, actually, we didn't leave that out because we sent out a newsletter some months back, and it was at Epstein's Island, and there was a picture of John Roberts, Bill Clinton, and Epstein standing together out in the water.
In the water.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That that picture changed it in my mind, because I was hoping for a positive decision on the Roe versus Wade with this new court. But I'm just convinced that Roberts, with the rest of them, has gone over to the dark side. I think I just don't have the faith.
Oh, I totally agree with you. Roberts did everything he could. And in fact, I think he was somewhere, in my opinion, he was involved when the Patriots tried to have their take back, the election that was stolen, when they had their rally to take back, to recover the election that was stolen, and they call it the insurgency or whatever, okay? Roberts, I believe, was a part of that.
Well, I'm convinced he was. You know, those people weren't down there at Orgy Island just to swim.
Oh, no.
Keep up the great work. You're a light in a very dark world. Thank you.
God bless, and thanks, and Merry, Happy New Year. All righty. So now you have this is why they fear Trump so much. And this is why Trump had no intentions of running for president. He was convinced to run for president by those generals that were purged from our military by abomination. And that's who convinced him to run. And so, anyhow, folks, there you go. And anyone and everyone that says that there was no election fraud is a liar, and there's no truth in them, and they would never have the guts or the decency to come out and sit across from me from this mic right here. See if we get any, huh? Okay. We'll get some kooks that'll call.
Yes.
They call anyway.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. We'll bring up Pastor Hal Larson. Bring up Pastor Hal Larson.
Hey, thanks a lot, Pastor. You said we had some kooks that'll call. Bring up Pastor Hal Larson. Yeah, appreciate that.
There you saw prophecy being fulfilled, right?
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah. Hey, I want to praise the Lord. There's a lady that called me a couple nights ago that she needed an exemption form to not get the shots, and I didn't think I had any left, but I found one and went to the library and uploaded it and sent it to her, and it turned out to be a real blessing to her. She was giving it to her union people and everything else. But she called me back tonight and said that they're all ostracizing her and treating her like she's an alien. And we got to talking, and I found out she wasn't saved. And so I got to go through the plan of salvation on the phone with her tonight. And she prayed out loud, repented of her sins, asked Jesus to come into her heart and save her and everything, trusted him as her Savior. And boy, was she happy, but, time was, hung up and everything. And I just want to praise the Lord for it. She lives up in North Plainfield, New Jersey. And I'd like to ask everybody to pray for her growth. She wants to find a good Bible-believing church around North Plainfield, and I told her I'd take a couple of days here to look, try and find a good one for her and let her know. And so I just appreciate everybody praying for her.
All right, very, very good. What's her name again?
Okay. I had it written down, and let's see if I can find it real quick. Her name is Crescenda.
Crescenda, okay.
C-R-E-S-C-E-N-D-O, Crescendo.
Crescendo, okay, very good. Stay right there, Hal. We got John in L.A. John, you're in the air. Hello,
hey there,
John.
Yeah, I'm just calling in because I wanted to ask, what does King LeBron James, and what do you think about the fact that Donald Trump is fully vaccinated and boosted? Is he in the deep state also? And what are your thoughts on that, given that you're clearly like a big proponent?
What are you talking about, King LeBron James? Okay, what do you think, he's a king?
Oh, yeah, our Lord and Savior, King LeBron James.
Oh, yeah, is he really your Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir, amen.
You are a fool, okay? You're a fool. Okay, you shouldn't hang him up. I wanted to hear what he had to say. All right, there you go. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
dear.
The fellas in
Well, we said the nuts would call.
Well, yeah, they are.
King LeBron James is his Lord and Savior. Yeah, right?
I know. Dear. I know.
So
we ought to pray for that man.
Yes.
We pray, dear Lord, that he might be, that the eyes of his understanding might be enlightened to who his King and Savior really is, and that he doesn't have one right now because he doesn't have a fellowship or relationship with you. So we pray for that man to be drawn to you and that you would open the eyes of his understanding and anybody else who believes that, that they might come into your kingdom and not go into the pit of hell. And this we pray and ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The second part of his question was, what do I think about Donald Trump getting fully vaccinated? First of all, if he did get fully vaccinated, I think that was a really stupid thing to do, okay?
Amen.
And,
yes.
You know, we've spoken out early about the fact that, we understood the position he was put in, why he came out with this experimental drug to begin with. But today, you know, I totally, that's the one thing that he's doing that I totally, completely disagree with. Now, did he actually get that? Look at, you know, those doctors that we had on here, we played earlier, these are real doctors. They're real doctors. They care about people, their patients. They'll tell you, folks, don't, if you think that these people that are coming out there and taking these vaxes are actually taking the real, they're not. They're taking placebos, okay?
Right.
And within that, you know, within the death culture there, they don't really trust each other very much. But these nurses have dropped the ball, or not dropped the ball, they have come out and they've told us time that they've blown the whistle, the whistleblowers. they have let them know that these people are taking placebos. Most of those that you see out there that are doing that. Now, you had that one fool who did the radio program that was out there, the atheist, who, the anti-Christian guy, the anti-God guy, that said that, that all of us that won't take the vax should be exterminated. And he came out and he did had his public press conference and he took the vax and he died a couple days later.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Just a couple days later. And so there you go. That's the reality of it. Let me go back to what Hal said. Hal, that, you know, folks, and everything we're talking about and everything we're talking about tonight here on this radio program will be forgotten. There'll be you folks out there listening, you know, many of you won't be here in 5-10 years that you'll be gone, okay, should the Lord tarry. There's only one thing that will matter to you and to every one of you that's listening to us. Now, this is reality. See, you are free to believe whatever you want. I mean, you can believe whatever you want. But what God's Word, the Bible, says is reality. And so here in this book, over 1,800 prophecies, most all of them have become, over 90% of them have come to pass already, exactly when, exactly where, exactly how. It's mathematically impossible. With all of our technology today, we could not duplicate any of these, okay? But here, the time will come, this will happen, there is no chance at all it won't, that the only thing that will matter to all of you out there listening tonight is your standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you're either saved or you're lost. There's no in-between. There's no middle ground. You're saved or you're lost. It's like you're like being pregnant. You are or you aren't. Okay? There's no middle ground, right? It's like being alive or dead. You are or you aren't, right? And so here, with that, Pastor Hal has called in, and he wants to give you an invitation. He wants to tell you how to avoid the lake of fire and how to get to heaven. Hal, do it.
Well, you know, when I was in the Serviceman Center ministry, you know, we'd be out on the street talking to people, and 9/10 of the people I talked to were church members that thought their good works would get them to heaven if their good works outbalanced their bad works. But the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. In other words, my salvation isn't based on my good works outbalancing my bad works. One sin would keep you out of heaven, because God can't let sin into heaven, not even one. So, you know, what he did was he vowed Jesus Christ to pay the payment for your sins and mine on that cross. Only the pure, sinless blood of God himself, which was in Christ Jesus, can wash away your sins and mine. There is no other way. I don't care if you was the best person that ever lived. But the thing is, you could be the worst sinner that ever lived. And if you come to Christ in repentance of heart, repentance is admitting something to God he knows already anyway. Without Jesus in our hearts, we're a bunch of dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinners on our road to hell.
And God don't want you to go to hell, but he's making it a free gift for you. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved, that's saved from hell, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody's going to be walking around heaven patting himself on the back and saying, I got here because I was a good Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, or whatever. But they're going to be giving Jesus Christ all the praise for getting them there. Right before Jesus died on the cross, he said three words, it is finished, which means all the work necessary for you to go to heaven has been done. But now whether you go to heaven or hell depends on what you do with that finished payment. You know, even the devil knows Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul, but the devil don't want you to receive that. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Everybody listening to me right now is a creation of God, but to go to heaven, you have to become a son of God, and that happens the moment you open up the door of your heart through prayer and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and give to you the payment he paid for you on that cross, being sorry about the fact you're a sinner. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. So right now, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. He knows you better than you know yourself, and he don't want you to go to hell, but he's given you the opportunity to, by faith, open up the door and let him come in and give you his salvation. If you'd like to do that, let's take him at his promise right now. We can say a simple prayer together, but even though we're praying together, it's strictly between you and God, because only you can open up that door and let him come in. If you'd like to do that, just pray with me. Oh, dear God, the Bible says I'm a sinner and on my road to hell, and I believe it. And I confess my sins to you that I am a sinner, and I need your forgiveness, and I need your salvation. Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save my soul. And Lord, I hear it now, Lord Jesus, ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins and save my soul from hell. Believe in everything the Bible says that you did for me, that my salvation is complete in you. And God, I thank you that having accepted you into my heart right now, according to your promise, I have salvation inside of me. I've received your free payment, your gift, and I thank you for it. And the Bible says, folks, in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. And that word believe on meant that you believe to the point of receiving, not just head knowledge, but receiving like you just did in prayer. Why? That you may know you have eternal life. Not that you may think it, wish it, wonder about it, hope for it, but that you may know. How can you know? Because God made you that promise, and God cannot lie. So praise the Lord. That's why the gospel means good news.
All right, very good. Well, again, and we know, so how are we so certain of this? Because our Creator, God who cannot lie, makes it very clear. Whatever you just said, you know, is right from God's word. Now, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass, but his words will never pass away. How long have men been trying to destroy the word of God?
Since the beginning of time.
Since the beginning. And it's not going to happen. Heaven and earth will pass, but God's words will never pass away. Folks, again, like I said, you've got God's word on that. You've got God's word on that. Well, we're out of time. I want to wish all of you a happy new year out there. I hope this is your blessed new year ever. I hope we do have a very good new year. One nation under God, back again. So until tomorrow, we want to say good night. God bless. And always
keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.